Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Read along with me. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's going to lead me to my title tonight, The Production Mindset. We pray over this message. Thank you, Jesus. God, we love you. Thank you for your mercy. It's renewed every day, God. Touch our mind and our hearts, God. Let this word be good ground to grow us into. Jesus, we praise you for what you do in this place today, God. And it's pray in your name, we pray, Jesus. In your name, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Multiple definitions for what a production is. The production that I'm going to be talking about today is a stage where a movie or film is literally made in the entirety of it. Now, with a production, there's multiple stages. They vary in length, but there's not only the production where everyone sees, you know, the actual filming of it, but there's the pre-production that takes place. This typically is one of the longest parts of it. The pre-production is where you see all of the casting, the location, and all of the scouting made. It's planning, it's writing, and it takes forever. And then there is the production. Following the production, you then get to the post-production. See, a post-production is where editors will go in, they'll look and see what they have, they find what's good, what's bad, and they start doing some editing and some refining in the work that they have. And the production is important, but without the days of seeking and finding, the production meant nothing. And you can seek and find, and you can do the actual filming, but without the refining, it's never finished. And a lot of the times, what we commonly refer to a production as is a film or a play. Now, films or plays are very entertaining, they're fun, they last for a little time. They last maybe an hour, hour and a half. You get to watch a remake of something, and it might be based on a true story, but at the end of the day, it's never the real thing. It's just based on a true story. But that's the difference between a production and church. See, this isn't a production. This is the true story. This is the reality. This is the truth. The problem is in the fact that we believe that it's a possibility that it's a remake or nothing can happen, but this isn't a remake. This isn't a knockoff version. This is the real thing. This is the place where God steps in and makes a difference. This is the place where miracles and the miraculous happens. This isn't a production, because in a production, there's a line of credits and it's got multiple names, but there's only one name in the credits here. And that name is Jesus. There's only one name upon all credit is given, and it's Jesus. You don't show up to a movie to see the things you show up at church for. You show up to church to see chains break. You show up to see healings and the miraculous and life saved. You show up to see a difference. You show up to see something that is not the way you walked in. You show up for an experience. The problem is there is a production mindset, and it's showing up and not expecting, and so you don't experience the real thing. But we cannot be in a production mindset. Have you ever seen a song or a movie coming out and it just looks way too long for you to want to watch it? It's like 4 hours long. My attention span does not last that long, I promise. The problem is that you will lose interest in it because it's so long. You don't give it time to build up. You don't give it time to see the full thing. And the same thing that happens there is you start to become disinterested in it and disassociated. And it's the same thing that can happen in the church. A sermon or an altar call or worship can only last so long before we start looking at the clock and wondering when is it going to be over. We start looking at the time wondering like, oh, I have somewhere to be after this, and that's way more important than where we are right now. But that's not the truth. That's not where we should be. See, we come with the idea when we're in a production mindset that we're just going to fill a time slot. Like this is a punch card and we're just going to punch another Sunday in. And maybe if we fill enough of them, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. But that's not how it works. This isn't a punch card. This is life. And there's only one way in. And it's not just showing up, but it's living it. See, what kills the production mindset is true worship. See, true worship isn't about numbers. It isn't about a schedule. It isn't about what's next. It's about sincerity. It's about authenticity. It's about the real thing. Because he isn't looking for the person that's coming in to punch a punch card. He's looking for the person that's coming in and expecting a change, that's desperate, that's hungry, that needs to see something done. And so they are getting up and pushing until something happens. Because he's looking for the person that comes and says, you know, I don't care how long it takes. I am not leaving here until I have an experience that changes where I am. Because I am not okay with the place that I am in. I am not going to leave until the Spirit falls. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When we were at Reset, Reverend Chris Green was there, and he talked about all these countries where these people would be in the altars for hours before service. They would be there. They didn't care if a pre-service prayer countdown had a five-minute timer. That didn't preface how long they were there during pre-service prayer, because they needed to see something happen. They didn't have anything else but Jesus. That was their only thing. So they allowed it to be their priority in life, as it should be. They didn't let what was coming next or what they could have been doing stop them from pushing. They were hungry for a move of God. A move of God comes when we have the desire for it. We have to open up that desire. We can't worry about what's coming next because the Holy Ghost can guide us through that. He'll guide us through what's coming next in the service. The problem is, and the question, when did our time become more precious than what the Lord was wanting to do? When did our time preface what Jesus could do? See, I didn't show up to socialize or check a box, go through another Sunday routine, maybe say hey to a couple people just so they knew I showed up here today. I didn't show up to save face. I showed up to see something happen. You know, the reason why camps and conferences are so on fire is because everyone's telling people, oh, that's where my life was changed. That's where everything was flipped upside down. So what do you do when you sign up to go? You expect. But it doesn't have to stay at camps and conferences. It can come inside of the church too. It can be here too. It doesn't have to stay there. Has regular church become so accessible to us that we feel like we no longer have to access it? No church is regular church. You don't have to leave and say you heard, you saw, maybe you sang about things that you wished you could experience. But you can experience them. And you can experience them today. Because he is in this place today. Because this is not a play. It's not a remake. It's a place where miracles take place. The difference is if we could just get back to an expectation of Pentecost every time that we stepped into the house of God. To give you a couple of realistic examples in the way I know best, if you were to eat a ton of protein, basically, but you never exercised, you would do the same thing with it as you would with any other food, and your body would store it and use it for energy. it would not make a difference of what type of nutrient it was. The same way as if you went to a gym, but you just sat in a chair for 40 minutes, nothing would change. It's crazy how you can feed yourself right all week, but without putting it to work, nothing happens. In the same way, you can be in the place where the refining happens, but if you don't actually put in effort, nothing gets refined. Nothing gets finished. You know, we can't just show up, come into the house of God where the miracles happen, and don't put in and not put in work. That's not what we are called to do. You know, you can decide to just show up. You can decide to just let church go by and treat it like it's a production. You can treat it like it's a one-time admission punch card or a ticket to a movie, and you'll never see it again, and nothing will ever happen because you didn't expect anything out of it but a good time. And you know what? When that happens, you won't see anything out of it. Or you can show up, you can put in some work, accept some refining, and push, and not worry about what's coming next, and you can see a move of God in your life. Everyone is looking for the real thing now. Everyone is out there trying to find the real thing. And there's so many alternatives that seem so accessible, so easy, so entertaining. You know, maybe I'll try 50 of them, but none of them will suffice. But we are here and we can experience the real thing. See, the real thing is in this room today, if you will let it happen in your life. He can step in if you just went back to that place of desire that you once had, that place where you just pushed until you had to see something change. That same spirit that fell in Acts 2 is the same spirit that still falls today. It has not changed. It has not lost its ability. It has not lost its power. It is still as strong as ever. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's going to be easy, because it's not. It's not always going to be easy, but I can tell you it's worth it. I can tell you there's no better way to live life than to live life for Jesus. There's no better way to live life than to live life pushing, saying that something has to change and I'm going to follow him. There's nothing that comes close to what God can do for you in your life. I'm going to flip to Exodus 3 and 14, and it says, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am." He said, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Notice he said, "I am that I am," not "I was." He's not just the God of the past, and it's not like he was able to do it, but now he's not. He said, "I am." He's currently working. You know, someone might ask you, "Oh, why are you still doing this?" But I can say, because he is the I am. Because he is still working no matter what's going on. It's not "I was." He's not a memory. It doesn't get outdated like a production. It doesn't become faded. It is still as strong as ever. And nothing could be better. They can't come up with a new way to make it better. They can't replace it. There's not a knockoff. There's not an alternative. There is but one real thing, and it's Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What keeps you out of that production mindset is knowing that he is. Not hoping, knowing. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." One, it says, you must believe that he is. If that's in your mindset, I promise you, you will not stop until you see a difference, until you see a change. Two, it says, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, the reward was not in the finding. It was in the seeking. In the seeking for it was the reward given. To seek, you have to understand and believe and know that something can change. Something will change. You can't just come doubting, stay in your seat, and expect nothing to happen. That's not seeking, that's skipping by. That's punching a punch card. And someone needs to get back to the mindset that this isn't going to be a typical Sunday. I'm not skipping by through church. I'm not just letting me to walk in the door, walk right out like nothing ever happened just to say hey to a few people. You have to want it. And no one can do it for you. There's no one here, it doesn't matter how many times they prayed this week, what title they hold, they cannot do it for you. Because you have to want it. Ephesians 2 and 8 through 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It says this is not of your own doing. It is not a result of works, but a result of faith. There's only one person that can provide those miracles, and it's Jesus. The one person that can provide it is the King of Kings. It is the Lord of Lords. We need to get back to a place where we are in one accord. Pastor was even talking about it during Sunday school today. If we just got back to the place where we set ourselves aside and we let the Lord work in our lives, that's when the miraculous takes place. In Acts 2 and 1 through 4, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." When they were in one accord, the Spirit fell in that place. And that was the beginning of the church. But the church hasn't changed. If it worked in the beginning, it still works today. That hasn't changed. Nothing has altered that. They haven't found an alternative. There's not a knockoff. We need to let the Holy Ghost be what guides us. We cannot produce anything ourselves. We can be willing and able vessels, and we can allow him to work through us, but we cannot produce it. It's time for us to start coming with a yearning in our hearts for a move of God. It's time for us to come with an expectance for a move of God. We have become too comfortable with the idea that there's always a tomorrow to do it, or the church doors are always open, or maybe I can get it done later. We have become too comfortable with the idea of that. I have friends that I know that wish they could show up to a church service. There are countries where they have to have underground church services or hidden because they might get killed if people find out. But we're okay with just treating it like there's another. We have become brainwashed and spoiled with the idea of a production. We cannot allow this to become a checklist and leave as if nothing happened. We need to get back to expectation and not production. Because I'm not satisfied with leaving the same way I showed up. I'm not satisfied with coming in those doors and leaving the same way. I need something to happen. I showed up to see some things shift. I showed up to see some chains break, some lives healed, some people made new, some weights taken off. I came to see the miraculous happen. I've had a couple people in my life ask me, with everything that I've seen happen in your life, how can you still live that life? And honestly, I just tell them that I'm still standing. I'm still here. Because without Jesus, I wouldn't be. That's the truth. It didn't matter what has happened, because you wouldn't have the three Hebrew boys without the torment of Nebuchadnezzar. You wouldn't have it. It didn't matter that there was a fierce adversary at work, because there's a God at work too. And he's still working in the present. He has not stopped, nor will he. See, a problem isn't an excuse to stay still or silent, but it's a reason to go deeper. It's a reason to push further. It's a reason to say, I'm not dead, so you're not done. Because if you're not dead, God is not done in your life. There is a reason you are here today. This isn't a place where we should just show up. I heard this somewhere, and I loved it, and I wish I could reference this, but I couldn't find it again. It said, when you lift up the name of Jesus, the enemy knows, and he runs. But let it become a routine, and he'll be waiting for you outside the church doors to drop your routine. He'll be waiting for you to hand you back some weight to some chains that you thought you took off, but you dragged behind with you. He'll be sitting there waiting for you to drop the routine of church on Sundays or on Wednesdays and just going through the motions. He's ready for you to stop lifting up the name. Because if you treat it like it's a tendency or a routine, the enemy knows. I want to tell y'all about awakening this past year of what happened. It was Friday night. I remember it, honestly, one of my favorite nights ever. But it was Friday night, and I had just watched a sermon on expectation. And so, of course, what do you do right after you watch a sermon? You follow the sermon. So I came expecting. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that something is going to change. Something has to change. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to let something change. And I remember that night, Brother Herod was speaking on the difference is demonstration. And he was speaking on the idea that where the Spirit is, then God is going to have a demonstration there. There will be a demonstration. Now, to preface what happened that night, I found out in middle school that I had a problem with my patella and my right knee, and so I wore a knee brace for forever. And then after that, I went to PT for a long time. And it got better, and then it got worse again. So it got to a point where I wore knee braces. If I went to go work out, I didn't really try and mess with it. I wore a compression sleeve if I tried to do any running. I get to a point where I can't even jump in church because it hurts. And so the next day, like, it would hurt so bad, I would hobble around. People would be like, what's wrong? My knee hurts. And I would tell people, hey, I'm sorry, like, Bibby and Lydia, call you out. They're always like waiting to see the feet leave the ground. And I'll tell them I'm like waiting to see my knee changed. And I remember that night he called for the people up front for a healing in their body. And at first I sat still and said, I mean, nothing's changed yet. So like, it's probably not going to. And then after a couple seconds, it's like I had this feeling like, well, but why can't it change now? And so I remember going up front, and he called for people to step in front of people and command healing in the body. Command whatever was going on to be gone. And I remember after we prayed that prayer, I jumped for probably 40 minutes straight with no pain in my knee. And I remember texting so many people about it because it was the best thing ever. I even went back to the hotel room that night and just kept jumping because it felt fake. I was like, there's no way this can be real. But what happened that night is we put ourselves aside and we said, there can be something done here today. There will be a demonstration because I am expecting change here today. We need to come and decide that I am not leaving until there is a demonstration. This is so much more than neat tricks. This is so much more than just a typical Sunday. This is the real thing, and this is where the miraculous happens. This is where miracles take place. And like I said, I wouldn't be long. I'm going to go ahead and call for whoever's doing music. And I'm going to go to Romans 8 and 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is not a time to be casual or laid back. There is too much going on and too much at stake to be casual and laid back. trumpets could sound any second now. This is not a time to say it's just Sunday. It's just your typical Sunday. But we need to be bold. We need to get back to the zeal and desire that we once had. We cannot relay our expectancy upon our circumstances, because our circumstances cannot stop what can happen. Only you can. Only you can stop what Jesus can do for you in your life. And maybe you feel like, no, it's just past that. No, maybe it's been too long. Nothing can change. I've done too much. Or just not me. That's not possible. But Jesus said, I am. He's not looking for a perfect prayer. If you don't know where to start, he's looking for a sincere prayer. He's looking for a desperate prayer. He's looking for a hopeful prayer. Because this isn't a production, this is a place of restoration. This is a place where healing happens. This is a place where expectancy turns into opportunity.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.